G7, number 11B.
So this is then the spiritual scientific sense in us that has to be at work. We can no more get that out of the text itself. Here starts the creative sense that says now your creative sense, your spiritual sense, and especially your scientific spiritual sense has to feel out what is the common denominator. And this is not always an easy question. It is a very cultured question. One's consciousness must be very cultured in order to sense what is the main tone. Here I try to epitomize those four. How could I epitomize? Right on the top, under the word, you have the epitome for the whole column, for all the four chapters. And I try to say it as simply as possible, namely that we start with good thoughts that lead to ideas. That's a great, great trend at the beginning, that good thoughts are the beginning, and culturing the good thoughts lead us inevitably to the insight that we have to do actually not with good thoughts alone, but with ideas. So you have there on the top of that vertical, can you see that? You have a summary, good thoughts leading to ideas. We go to the next vertical, to the Christ vertical, and go quickly through those four chapters and see what those four chapters say, what they mean, and then try to find a common denominator too. So when we go through animal magnetism unmasked, we have seen there that here we get the distinction of what is good and what is evil, and that is brought to light. So the chapter on spiritualism has only said the identities of being are ideas. The further question that we have to ask is in animal magnetism, how can I know what are good ideas and what are not ideas, therefore what is evil? So the question of good and evil enters into our discussion, and therefore he shows that we cannot decide what is good and evil. That she said, that's mind that knows what is good and evil. Mind that is all in all is the maximum of good. And so we find a new standpoint. We find a new standpoint that will define to us what is good and what is evil. Everything that can be deducted or deduced from the one mind, or let's say from the synonymous term, are ideas, and these ideas constitute the maximum of good. Everything that does not come from the synonymous terms is evil. Everything. We don't like that because we like to be good, and we like to be good, and we like to be good, and we have a sense of what is good and what is evil, though we know very well that all over the world, every culture and every religion has a different sense of good and evil. So there is no absolute sense of good and evil in the world until we begin to realize that we can make a distinction very securely between good and evil, namely then when we deduce from the synonymous terms. Then the ideas are always good. If that is so, then we have a secure basis and feel, now we know that ideas are good, now I can build on those ideas. Now I can really build a structure on those ideas. And so the next chapter, Science, Theology and Medicine, shows us now that if we deduce from the one principle, that then we get the system of that principle. And so in science, therefore, we reason only from God. This is the terrific statement. You know that this chapter is a chapter that was written as the last chapter in Mrs. Eddy's life. She wrote that only in 1891 and put it right at the beginning first of the textbook because she felt this is now really showing how we can arrive at the science of divine mind, to mind science. So in science we reason from God. It's always from God, from mind, from spirit, from soul. And in this way she can see what is not from mind and uncovers mortal mind and mortal mind's working. The true translation of immortal mind and mortal mind. We deduce from spirit that she saw what is spirit and that therefore the opposite matter cannot be real. That we deduce from soul and see only soul sense and spiritual sense gives us the true testimony that the material senses can never tell us the truth. That so in principle which we would show that only if we reason from principle that we arrive at the science of that principle. From the infinite one principle comes all ideas and the laws of this science, and that everything that is not reduced from the infinite principle cannot claim the name of science. Therefore, all science is divine. And so with life in theology, and so in truth when she goes to medicine. So we can see thought is now trained and led into thinking always from God, reasoning from God, from the infinite one. This is the true standpoint we take. So we have changed our standpoint from prayer, from thinking, to really science, to have made that necessary change of standpoint and have arrived in at the point where we can really see the science of being. Which means, we come to physiology, which means that we have to be willing to leave every other standpoint. That we have to, so to say, lay down another standpoint than just that which is of the synonymous terms. Then she can say, then you can see. In thy light you can see the light. Which means that in the light of mind you can really see the mind universe. In the light of spirit you really can see the spiritual universe. In the light of soul you can really see the soul sense of the universe, the spiritual meaning of the universe, and so on through the seven synonymous terms. So that we must be willing to let go of another standpoint, or we will mix up the divine standpoint with the human standpoint, and then we have all the trouble in the world that we can think of. This is demanding a lot, and as it is demanding a lot, we think that this cannot break through in the universe, that it has not a power to rule the universe. And so Mrs. Eddy comes and shows in the 8th chapter on Footsteps of Truth, she shows, yes, it can be done. You may not experience it in your lifetime, but it will come. You start with in the right direction, and starting in the right direction, you are already achieving a lot, and continue in that right direction, you are achieving very much, even if within a lifetime you cannot achieve the highest, you cannot perhaps achieve science itself. So in Footsteps of Truth, it shows us that this development cannot be stopped. That nothing in the world, so to say, can stop that development. And we have perhaps to know that very well, because sometimes we are discouraged and feel that we can't put the science over to the universe. All right. Now, if we consider those four chapters together and say, now, what is the general tone in it? We would at once feel, I think, that it has something to do with the Christ, because every chapter in it is showing that we go out from God. In animal magnetism, we go out from God. In science theology, we go out from God and deduce from God. And in physiology, we see that we should not go out from another standpoint, but the standpoint of God. And in Footsteps of Truth, she saw that if we don't stick to the standpoint, we can't get very far. That it is not the footsteps of truth. So we at least feel the Christ tone in it, that it has something to do with the message from God to man. How to epitomize it? Well, this is also difficult, but I think what we could feel here is the power of the idea, which is bringing only the good to mankind, good thoughts. So the translation of God to man is the translation of principle right down to man and his consciousness and his thinking. So these thoughts here are not the same thoughts as in the first vertical. In the first vertical we had good thoughts leading to idea. There were those thoughts that were human thoughts, good human thoughts. But here in the Christ we see that when we speak about God coming to us and bringing us really good thoughts, then these are impelled by God, by the synonymous term, then we are not the thinker. Is man the thinker, or is he the thought of God? That's the little pamphlet you also have received recently, Man the Thinker. So we must always differentiate between human thought and thoughts that come to us, and we are being thought. Can you say that? You see, it's very difficult to express. It's something that has made really the philosopher Heidegger in Germany a great philosopher, because he was the one who began to see that man never thinks out what he's going to do, that is superficial, but that man has no choice to think the way he wants to think, that fundamentally man is, now I can't translate it because even in German it is a funny expression, a made-up expression, an artificial expression. That man is that which is being thought of. Does that make sense? That he traces it back right to the Greeks and can see that man is not that who guides evolution because of his thinking. That not man is that which suddenly has a new thought and therefore brings mankind forward. That's a superficial, that's a surface appearance of it. He could see that underlying it, in the deep structure, it actually was so that God, if we want to call it God, that God was at work and bringing thoughts to man. That God brings thought to man so that man is being thought. Verb, being thought, huh? Yeah? Is that all right? Okay. That's what we feel here that happens. So that the evolution of science is not a human achievement, but that it is the achievement of the divine mind, of the Christ mind, that comes to human and brings to the human without that he feels it, without that he is aware of it, brings those thoughts which had to be thought at that period. The man who thinks it does not even perhaps know it. Some would say perhaps it came by inspiration. Very much so. There are quite a lot of great scientists who say that they could see something new by inspiration. Not by calculation, but by inspiration. That's why Mrs. Eddy names Agassiz as a natural scientist. Today she could quote many others, but Agassiz was very typical for a natural scientist, because most of his discoveries he made came to him by night in a dream. He dreamt what he had to do in the laboratory. And very often he couldn't remember in the morning. So he began to have a little sheet of paper next to his bed, and when those dreams came, he wrote them quickly down, and then in the morning went to his work and could find that it is a solution. So that is what is meant here with the Christ, that the Christ brings to us new ideas. Can you see the self-evolution of understanding? That mind evolves itself as bringing to people a new understanding. We go to the next vertical, where we have Christianity. Again, we quickly run through the chapters. Creation says eternal truth is changing the universe. Now the focal point is on the universe and on man. How does man change? How does the universe change? How does science change? How does our worldview change? What is that makes our worldview change? Is it our intelligence? Is it our brainwaves? Is it our university education? Or what is it? It's not that. It's something else. It's really that the divine idea that has been shown in the Christ vertical is beginning to work. And as new thoughts come to us, we begin to see a new universe. So the Christ here is working in Christianity as that which changes the universe. We suddenly begin to sense that there is an idea universe instead of a material universe, and so we feel here the very first touch of Christianity, a new universe. We go to science of being, and where we see that new universe, because it's new, we feel it is a wonder, that it brings forth something we were not thinking about, which we didn't know up to now. So we call it a wonder. A wonder happens, and all the wonderful inventions that are being made, we attribute now as here to the Christ working. So that science of being is Christianity as the Christ, bringing the Christ, can you hear the touch of the Christ? Namely, bringing forth something new. It is the Christ impact that is at work, and therefore brings forth all those technical wonders that we are witnessing today in an accelerated form. If it brings forth a new universe, so all those useful wonders, then again, Mrs. Eddy, always when she comes to the Christianity sense, to the third chapter in a vertical, she always will bring in somehow, this cannot be achieved in the moment. You must have the kind of patience with yourself. The higher meaning of Christian Science cannot be understood at once. So this is also a factor in the study. Just as the other inventors must have a terrific patience, they must not let go of their investigation. They go year after year to the laboratory and try to find out something, and still not being discouraged, still going on, still getting new courage and starting right again in the morning, though in the evening they may be discouraged in what they have found this day. it needs a lot of going on, a lot of pushing on, going on with patience without being discouraged. So it cannot be understood at once. But what it can do, that's in the 12th chapter, it can ameliorate our human mind, our mortal mind. That's the practice of it. That it reestablishes health, normality of mortal mind, not the normality of divine mind. We have seen that very clearly, that if we would heal somebody to the normality of divine mind, he would be idea, spiritual idea, and nothing but spiritual idea, nothing corporeal about him, nothing personal about him, and he wouldn't like it. You wouldn't like your husband to be healed and disappear. You still like that he brings a check home at the end of the month. Yes. So if we try to find a common denominator for that whole vertical, I think we could see that at this point, ideas that are in God, that the universe and men are God ideas. That's perhaps the summary of it. Just to show that what's going on is ideas. Ideas as the Word, changing the universe. Ideas as the Christ, namely bringing forth those wonderful wonders. Idea as Christianity, appealing to the human sense of being patient with it and not giving up and being consistent and go forward. And at the point of science, the idea does what? The ideas get rid of our false mortal mind sense. Brings it back to normality of mortal mind. Already that is a big achievement if we have the normality of mortal mind. Then we are already quite happy. But mostly, we are so happy that we are not going on. That we think, that's it. I have made my demonstration. Oh. I always have a cold shower going down my back when somebody says, I have made my demonstration. They haven't usually the faintest idea what they should have demonstrated. They've only demonstrated what they were wishing. So it was a wishing demonstration. And that wishing demonstration is a bit of a wishy-washy demonstration. So from that point we go on and come to the real essence of science, namely to science itself. Where we see in the teaching Christian Science, we see that we must have first of all that receptivity, that longing, that expectancy, that really science reveals itself, that it is really science that we want, that we love Christian Science for the truth of it and not for the material application of it, so that we have here that receptivity for spiritual unfoldment and understanding must be cultured within us. If we culture that, then we are open for the system of science. Then the next chapter can show us the system of science, namely that scientific metaphysics, showing those science as a system of metaphysics. When we have the system of metaphysics, when we have the system of arithmetic, we can calculate higher and higher and more. If we have the system of metaphysics, in recapitulation, we can start to go higher and higher, and we come to Genesis, which shows that there is a force at work that brings us higher and higher and higher. Therefore, spiritual evolution leads to finer complexity. I've shown that through Genesis, for instance, how that complexity has grown and grown by bringing in always new categories. And so we find a very fine mesh in that net of the system of science. Until finally, that higher and higher says, I bring you out of metaphysics into science itself, into science which starts with Christian science, bringing you further to the absolute Christian science, then to divine science, and finally to science itself. That is the last column which I have epitomized, that there is an understanding there of the nature of a cybernetic nature, of a spiraling development. Cybernetics always spirals up. It never forms a circle that has no beginning, no end, but spirals up and up, and it is a cybernetic law within the whole of being. Nothing is left out. All the levels are there. Yes. That is how we can epitomize such chapters. Now, the next step, naturally, is that we compare if those epitomes that we have made on the top of each column, if those epitomes are right. We can check that. Because what is the checking? The checking is, does it conform to a category of being? If it doesn't conform to a category of being, we know that it is not right. So those captions in each vertical column, if we read them horizontally, then they must make a spiritual order. So we start out and have an even simpler presentation of the law, namely that it says, you start out with good thoughts leading to ideas. Then what are these ideas doing? We come to the Christ, these ideas have power, and they bring to you new thoughts and right thoughts, new inspiration. And if they bring new inspiration and new thoughts, these ideas, then put them back into God. We come to Christianity. Ideas are in God. Put them back into God so that each idea reflects the whole of God, so that the universe and men are actually God idea, not just idea, but are God idea, mind idea, spirit idea, soul idea, principle idea, life, truth, and love idea. And if you have that, and if you have that whole ideational universe, then the thought says, but are they ordered? Are they just floating around in that universe? Or are they bound into a law? And so you have science, the last column, that they are bound into an understanding of a cybernetic, divinely cybernetic law in which define the whole of being. And then you feel, yes, it has an order in it. It conforms to an order, and then you feel your epitomes are right. In the same way, you can do what we have on the left-hand side, but I'm not allowed to go on. I have a very commanding boss that says, now you stop. But still, one sentence more, you can go now down on the left-hand side and see, do these epitomes make sense too? Have they an order? And they seem to indicate something interesting, namely the order of scientific metaphysics. Of scientific metaphysics. The scientific metaphysics that start out with a proposition of understanding God, that we submit then ourselves to these ideas, and to let the spiritual ideas in us take place and take hold of us, and then we see that the spiritual scientific consciousness establishes itself, and we don't have to do anything.